Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. If you have your Bibles, be turning with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Our passage this evening is going to come from verses 17 through 21. Galatians 2, 17 through 21. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Think about especially verse 20, as that will be our subject for this evening. Crucified with Christ. How important is this scripture to us as Christians? When we look at what Paul is trying to tell us here. Here we have verse 20, and it's the confident statement of every Christian, really. This one statement by the Apostle Paul brings to our hearts the reminder of who the children of God are, who they belong to, and the source of the victorious Christian life that you and I have. See, Galatians 2:20 should be an important scripture to every Christian for three reasons. Number one, it should be an important scripture to every Christian because, number one, it's a personal scripture. It can apply to each one of us on a personal basis. Notice what Paul says here in verse 20. I. He starts off with a personal pronoun. I am crucified with Christ. So when we look at that, friends, Paul makes it personal. See it as personal. I have been crucified. Crucified here means a death has taken place. When we look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we see verses 22 through 24 in the New King James Version, we read there that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Friends, crucifixion means death. Crucified means a death has taken place. We read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, have been put to death. Behold, all things have become new. You see, friends, we as Christians should remember that when we were buried with Christ in baptism, there was a death of our old self. Jesus himself said in Luke 9 and verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and do what? Take up his cross. Take up his cross how often? Daily. And follow me. Friends, once we have died to sin, we can no longer go back. And so that cross is ours to bear on a daily basis. You see, being crucified with Christ not only means a death has taken place, but also a new life has come through in the resurrection. Look with me at Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at the imagery that Paul uses here, beginning in verse 1. Romans 6, beginning in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We come in contact with his blood where he died there upon the cross. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, notice verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Do you see the imagery that Paul uses here, the word picture that he paints of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Him dying up on the cross, being crucified. His burial into that tomb. And Him raising again the third day. Friends, this is a personal scripture. We are to be crucified with Christ. Let me give you an illustration. A young man approached an older Christian with this question. What does it mean, as far as this life is concerned, to be crucified with Christ? The older Christian replied, it means three things. Number one, a man on a cross is facing in only one direction. Number two, he is not going back. And number three, he has no further plans of his own. That is, no further plans that are separate from Christ. Friends, when we have been crucified with Christ, we are looking in one direction, toward heaven. When we have been crucified with Christ, there is no turning back to the old life. And friends, when we have been crucified with Christ, we are no longer our own, but we belong to Him. We are His. T.S. Rendell wrote, "Too many Christians are trying to face in two directions at the same time. They are divided in heart. They want heaven, but they also love the world. They are like Lot's wife, running one way but facing another. Remember, a crucified man is not coming back. The cross spells finish for him. He is not going to return to his old life. He is through with the vainglory of this life. Its chains are broken and its charms are gone." So friends, our question concerning this point is, are you giving yourself? Are you giving your mind? Are you giving your body? Are you giving your soul as instruments of righteousness to God? Are you truly crucified with Christ? And number two, Galatians 2 and verse 20. Not only is it a scripture that is personal to each Christian, but it is a scripture of proclamation. Notice that Paul said here, "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." But we need to keep in mind here that Paul was still a member of human society. And so are we. We are in the world. There's nothing we can do about that. We are surrounded by people that are not Christians. We are surrounded by the world. We can't take ourselves out of it. So what do? Friends, while we are in the world, we are not to be of the world. There is to be a difference. You see, Paul was still a member of human society, and so are we. He was still exposed to human frailty, sin, death, sickness, so forth. So are we. But he had ceased living an independent life of his own. Whatever he did in this life, it was in accordance to the will of God. His life was now a life of faith. His life was now a life of dependence on the Son of God. You see, Paul no longer stood alone, and neither do we as Christians. We are to make a proclamation that we are on the Lord's side. Friends, when I think about faith, when you think about faith, to where does your mind normally go? Almost immediately. If you're like me, it goes almost immediately to Hebrews chapter 11, which many people call the hall of faith. We learn of many people of faith there. Let's turn over there for just a moment. I want us to notice a couple of things here. Hebrews chapter 11. First of all, notice the biblical definition of faith in verse 1. Now faith is what? We have the biblical definition here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Drop down to verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel. By faith, verse 5, Enoch. Without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We read of Noah, verse 7. Abraham, verse 8, and in what Abraham did. We read of Jacob. We read there of Sarah. We read of all these people, Rahab, Abraham once more. We read of Moses, of Joseph, all these people that had such great faith in God. and the examples that they were able to set for us. Hence, we have them written about here in Hebrews 11. But to go with that, I want you to notice with me chapter 12 and verse 1. Chapter 12, beginning of verse 1, we read, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Friends, remember that chapter 12 and verse 1 is referring to the people about which we just read in Hebrews chapter 11. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith," verse 2, "who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Friends, you think about the conditions in which these people had to show their faith. Some of these, in Hebrews chapter 11, some of the prophets being sawn asunder. Verse 37, "They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." Friends, can we imagine living such a life as Christians? Friends, we must keep the faith, must fix our eyes on Christ. Paul, no doubt, had a tremendously strong faith in Christ. It's evidenced in his life. We see how Paul lived. We're able to read of his life in the book of Acts. We can see a little bit more of his lives in the letter in the letters that he wrote to various congregations and people. His faith is evident. What about you? What about me? What about our faith? Is it evidenced in my life? Can people see it? Is our life a life of proclamation concerning our faith? Can people see that? You know, Scripture tells us that once converted, Paul lived a passionate life of faith. He was zealous. And Scripture tells us about his struggles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, being beaten and stoned and shipwrecked. All of that for the cause of Christ. He writes of his thorn in the flesh. But through it all, Paul found his strength in Jesus Christ. He writes in Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." He found his strength in Christ. Concerning faith, here's an illustration. There's a tightrope walker. I'm sure some of you may have heard this particular illustration before, who did incredible aerial feats. He did them all over Paris. He would do tightrope acts at tremendously scary heights. Once he had succeeded at those, to go on and make it even more challenging, he would do so blindfolded. And then he would go across the tightrope blindfolded and pushing a wheelbarrow. An American promoter read about this in the papers and wrote a letter to the tightrope walker saying, "Tightrope, I don't believe you can do it, but I'm willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial sum of money, besides all your transportation fees, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls." Now, Tightrope wrote back, "Sir, although I've never been to America and seen the falls, I'd love to come." And so after a lot of promotion, setting the whole thing up, many people came to see the event. Tightrope was to start on the Canadian side and come to the American side. Drums roll and he comes across the rope, which is suspended over the treacherous part of the falls. And he's doing so blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow. He makes it across easily. The crowd goes wild. He comes to the promoter and says, "Well, Mr. Promoter, now do you believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. I mean, I just saw you do it." "No," said Tightrope, "do you really believe I can do it?" "Well, of course I do. You just did it." "No, no, no," said Tightrope. "Do you believe I can do it?" "Yes," said Mr. Promoter. "I believe you can do it." "Good," said Tightrope. "Now get in the wheelbarrow." What's the point? Friends, the word "believe" in the Greek means to live by. You see, it's one thing to say that you believe, but it's another thing to get in the wheelbarrow, so to speak, and show that you believe. Our faith should be one that is growing every day. James tells us that the testing of our faith develops perseverance or patience. James 1, 2 through 4. Friends, in other words, the testing of our faith helps us grow. It did for Paul, and it will for us if we allow it. Then number three, as we look at Galatians 2 and verse 20, it's a personal scripture. It's a scripture of proclamation, and friends, it is a profound scripture. Paul sums up verse 20 by saying, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, what do we mean by profound? Friends, the word profound means deep, in another word. Now, I can imagine Paul's deep connection to Jesus. To think about someone giving their life up for you. When you really sit and you think about the sacrifice that Christ made, and He made that for you, and you make that personal, how do you feel about that? I would think it would bring most of us nearly to tears, if not all the way, when we think of Jesus giving Himself for us, for me. And that connects us back to number one, in that it's personal. This was personal to Paul. It should be personal to us. That was Christ, His Redeemer. Christ, His Savior. My Redeemer. My Savior. Your Redeemer. Your Savior. Think about the great verse that we, I'm sure, all know by memory. John 3 and verse 16. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But when you think about that verse, make it personal. Insert your name for the world. For God so loved Josh. For God so loved Clyde. Make it personal. And friends, then it will really hit home. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And friends, when we make that personal, it's profound. In Romans 5 and verse 8, we read Paul writing, But God showeth His love, or demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus says, Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Friends, that includes me. It includes you. We read in Ephesians 2 and verse 8, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Friends, that's profound. It's deep. That He would give Himself for me. That He would pay the price for my sin. So what does Galatians 2 and verse 20 mean? Friends, it means I ought to live my life for Christ, not for myself. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks, ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. James C. Guy wrote this letter. A suicide note from a troubled man. Brother Guy wrote, As I sit here to write this letter, I think about my life and all the mistakes I've made. I've hurt people. I've misled people. I've had fun at the expense of people. I am a terrible person. I have tried many ways to make myself feel better and to make myself be what I thought would be better, and none of them worked. Now, I see only one way out, to end it all, to kill myself. I want to say goodbye to all I have called my friends, but were probably just my acquaintances. I am about to go on to a new life, one that is not of this world, one where all the problems and struggles of this life will never be the same. You may continue to remember me, but you won't find my body. I plan to be buried deep, I will drown myself in all my old ways. I'm leaving it all behind. I'm giving my life to Christ by being baptized into His death. Friends, maybe that will put something into perspective for us. That if we are truly to be crucified under Christ, then friends, we can no longer live for ourselves. We must live for Him. He must be first and foremost in our lives, and every decision that we make must be governed by His Word. Do we take that seriously? Are we truly crucified with Christ and allowing Him to live through us? Let us all make Galatians 2 and verse 20 our personal passage. Let's make that proclamation through our lives by living it by faith. And friends, let's make it again personal so that it might be profound to us and to others. Are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Christ? Maybe it is your desire tonight to, in a manner of speaking, write your own personal suicide note, and that you're going to put the old man of sin to death and be created anew under Christ. Would you be baptized into His death to arise again to walk in newness of life? Friends, are you here this evening having done all that needed to be done to obey the gospel, but you've fallen away? You failed to continue to walk in faith. Would you come back? Would you come now while we stand and while we sing?